My text today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. Let's begin by reading together. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so that we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous acts of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now it is good yet, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your needs. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who has much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. As I studied this scripture from the lectionary, I realized that there were several directions that I could go to with this sermon today. And the Apostle Paul was approaching the Corinthians regarding their financial giving. And he wasn't just talking about taking up a collection and everybody giving everything back. He was talking about giving wholehearted service. Paul was making the people aware that it's possible to render services that produce no reward whatsoever. If our approach to our work in the church is to do it grudgingly, then all of our reward is lost. If one's approach to work in the church is in a self-serving manner, with an attitude that I know what's right, and I'm not going to participate unless they do it my way. I was in a church years ago that there were several people that had that attitude. And who wants to do it more? Because of the attitude. People are rewarded a lot of times by the attitude that we have. On the other hand, I believe that if a person serves the Lord from the very bottom of their heart, that God will take note of the activity that you do. No service that is rendered for the glory of God will go unrewarded. God rewards his people when we work for him. As an example of this, many years ago there was a humble little country preacher that served a church out in the backwoods, out in the middle of nowhere. His ministry was quiet and very few souls were saved. Year in and year out, this minister became more and more discouraged because of the circumstances surrounding his church. They were small,
The community will swallow them. It's just no growth whatsoever. Once in a while, some person would come in and accept Christ as their Savior or rededicate their life to Christ. But it was only years later that that faithful minister found great joy in the knowledge that one of those people that he had won to Christ was Charles Spurgeon, a man that later was used by God to bring multitudes of souls to Christ. Our humble service is rewarded now and will certainly be rewarded when Christ returns. John 12:26 sums it up really well. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. What words of encouragement. When we identify with Jesus Christ, we face some of the same sufferings that he faced. We're misunderstood a lot of times the same way that Jesus was misunderstood. But we can also enter into the same glory that he entered into when he ascended into heaven to his Father. God has blessed us beyond measure. In our text for today, in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is very careful to avoid putting pressure on the members of the church of Corinth in the matter of giving. He wanted them to learn to give out of love and to be moved by the grace of God in that love. In our giving, we must have a willing mind. Verse 12 says, "For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." It is not a matter of your salary scale, regardless of what you make. When you tithe, you give proportionately as much as anyone else who tithes. The income may not be as great as yours, or yours may be greater than mine, but when we give unto God that which is his, mine will be just as blessed as yours will be. As we give it to the Lord, what we give will compound blessings connected with our obedience. Our financial support of the church is a minute part of being a member of the United Methodist Church. When we join the church, we vow to faithfully participate in its ministries by our prayers, by our presence, by being here, by our gifts in the offering, by our service, and by our witness. We vow to receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. If you want to refresh your memory about the vows that you made, check out the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church. The 2012 edition, page 153, spells it out real well. But I want to focus briefly on the part about our witness. In order for us to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ in the local church, we must experience a spiritual growth. You have to have that spiritual growth in order to develop a deeper commitment to the will and grace of God. How do you experience a spiritual growth? You experience this growth by participating in Sunday school and the various classes that are taught within the church. You experience this growth by putting Jesus Christ first in your life. By putting him ahead of all the other things in your life that, well, I really want to go fishing. I really want to go to the feet this weekend.
It's another half church out there at Bethel United Methodist Church, and I really need to be there in order to build myself up and to build others up spiritually. I'm not saying by any means that we should not take a vacation. That's not the point. But like I said, over the years I have encountered persons that whatever come along, church took the second place to it. And when Jesus came into our heart and life and he forgave us of our sins, he says, okay, I'm here. I want first place. I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. I don't want to wait till you get back from the beach or from the ballpark or wherever it is you're going. I want your devotion now. You can receive this encouragement, this strength, this uplifting through things like the women's circle and Sunday school classes and Bible study groups, the outreach meetings. All of this is to build us up in our faith. We can't fall back on tradition. We can't say that I really don't think it's going to work because back in 1954 we did it this way and it didn't work then. Well, they just think it's going to work now. God wants us to take action and to move forward for Him and for His glory. He wants action, not excuses. As a member of the body of Christ, we're bound in sacred covenant to shoulder the burdens and share the risks and celebrate the joys of our fellow members. As you recall, I spoke this past Mother's Day about a woman in the Bible named Dorcas. She was noted for her works of charity. She demonstrated her faith by her works. What her hands failed to do, she did it with all of her might. The deeds that she did were not something that she proposed to do or she designed to do or she merely said that she would do, but it's things that she actually did do. Whatever her hands failed to do, she did it. I'm reminded in closing of an elderly carpenter. He went to the contractor that he worked for and told him, says, I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to hang up a hammer and the nail and spend more time with my family. And the contractor asked him a favor. He said, I've got one more house that I want you to build. So the carpenter agreed, but his heart was not really in it. And as he started to build a house, he resorted to shoddy workmanship and using inferior materials. This was really an unfortunate way for him to end his career. And when this carpenter had finished building his house, the contractor came to him. And he handed him the keys to the front door. He said, this is your house. This is my retirement gift to you. What a shock. What a shame. If he had only known, he would have done everything different. My friend, it's the same with us today. If we build our lives in a distracted way, reacting rather than acting, willing to put up less than the best. When we look at the situations we have created, we realize that the mess we're living in is a house that we have built. Wouldn't we have done it differently if we had only known? Wouldn't we even now today
about to do our very best for Jesus Christ. We want to serve others and not just think about ourselves. Let us live graciously, thankfully, and with dignity. Wouldn't we seek the covenant ourselves and a communion with other Christians? If we knew that we had one more day to live, wouldn't we strive to put God at the center of all of our activities for that day? Our attitudes and our choices that we make today will determine what our house looks like in the future. I think of opportunities that I have missed over the years when I could have witnessed to someone and I didn't. Of all the things that I could have done and I didn't. And just pray and ask God to forgive me and help me to be a willing vessel. Be willing to do what my hands found to do. The communion of saints is what the Apostle Paul was stressing to the church of Corinth. This communion of saints is what we as a United Methodist Church believe and we teach and we practice. When I baptized Ellen this morning, we as a communion of saints vowed to pray for her, to nurture her, to train her, to come become part of this communion of saints. I naturally hope that we will all keep our vow. But my greatest desire today is that we review our vows to each other so that our covenant will be made stronger and our communion more powerful than ever before. Amen.